on Toxic Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for July 9th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Asia. How are you doing, Asia?
Hey, Taryn. I'm doing well. I'm doing okay. You know, got a few hours of sleep. We're not going to talk about how when the last house guests went to sleep last night, an hour later, everybody was waking up. So, yeah, we'll see how this goes.
Yeah. Live feeders love to complain about the Big Brother Canada bedtime, but I'm hey, cool with it.
I would love that. I mean, you know, yeah, we took it for granted during Big Brother Canada because like watching these feeds, I'm the type of person that if I'm at a group, like I'm at a group dinner, I want a little bit of every conversation. Like I'm not the type of person to stick to one conversation. Let's focus here. No, I'm going to probably try to chime in to everything. So I'm like, all ears open. So everybody in the same room talking about different things. It's a lot.
Yeah. Well, we are of course here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 24 live feeds. It was day 3 in the house and we finally had our first set of nominations. Really no major shifts in the current alliances or anything like that, but things starting to settle in for now as we move forward in the first week of the game. So let me attempt to reset you on where we are, and let me also pull up the cast. If you are watching the video version of this update, you can check out the here's the cast. There's them. There's their faces.
Because if the house cannot remember their names, we know that there are probably people out there struggling.
Yeah. Turner particularly very bad at names.
Who is Daniel? Is there
know
a
who
Taylor?
Daniel is. Who's Taylor? He even forgets, like, his number one ally is Pooch, and he forgot who Pooch was. Yeah. Don't feel bad if you can't remember their names.
Right. Yeah, I'm like, where is he? Like, I mean, he just seems like he's just, like, vibing. He's just there. But, I mean, it's day 3, you would think, at this point. You at least know there's a name that exists in the house.
So Daniel is the HOH, and he prior to day 3, the night before, he had talked about the biggest person he talked about nominating, of course, for a little while has been Michael. At first, not really as a target, just as a pawn, but over the course of the first 2 days, that was seemingly starting to shift more toward a target angle. And he also had discussed the night before that the easiest option would just be Michael and Terrence. And so that is how we are coming into the day, that he had discussed that the night before. He said that to the cameras, and that's on his mind. The easiest nominations would be Michael and Terrence. So that's where we are there. We start the day with Daniel and Nicole. He's kind of catching up with her about a lot of things. Now we'll try to again reset you on the various groups and alliances as they come up. So Daniel and Nicole have a final 2. Don't mind the names at this point. Rogue Rats is the name of their final 2. But if you try to remember the people and the names, I feel like it's even more difficult. Just know that Daniel and Nicole have a final 2. And even making final 2s at this point, they don't always stick either. So Daniel and Nicole, they're close. They have a tight bond. They'll be working with each other for the foreseeable future. So they're catching up. He lets Nicole know that the day before, Pooch and Turner basically approached him about working together in an alliance. They are calling that the Motley Crew for now, which also will not stick. But he tells her about that, and kind of walks through some of the things that he's thinking about. But this is more of a preliminary conversation. They're going to have a bigger one later to really lock in who he's feeling about, nominations.
Yeah, I feel I really, in this pairing, I really like Nicole. Like, I feel like she is the sanity in this duo, and there's going to be a point where she needs a stronger partner further in the game. I think. I mean, maybe Daniel's just stressed right now. I know at first HOH can be a lot, but it just feels like they're not on equal footing when it comes to thinking about the game. And I feel like Nicole has so much potential because already she's thinking things through so logically. But I know she's trying to tread lightly because it's like, okay, Daniel, you have your reasons for why you want them to go up and you'll stick to that. But I appreciated Amira's approach later of just like, wait, no. So I think Nicole, you know, once she starts to see like who she wants out, how she wants to go about that, who she gets close to, I think she might end up dropping Daniel.
It's definitely possible. I mean, especially if like the house drops Daniel, right? Like that's that's the point where Nicole might reevaluate. But yes, for now they're catching up. They're on the same page for the most part. Now the day before Daniel, when he talked to Pooch and Turner, they suggested not only that they work together, but that they perhaps might bring in some more of the guys, the bros, particularly Monty and Kyle. Daniel had expressed concern to the cameras that Monty and Kyle may have a final two already, and that he hasn't really talked game to either of them at all, that he would love to nominate Monty, but he's worried that Monty would come back at him. So when Pooch and Turner suggest bringing those two in, he was okay with the idea because, you know, if you can't beat them, join them. And so he ends up having a conversation with Kyle, one of his first real game conversations with Kyle, here early in the morning as well. And it's a big, big bro sesh, bro love. I'm so glad we're talking. This is so great. I love you. I appreciate you. I want to work with you. Daniel says, something that he will be saying a lot throughout the day, which is, look, Kyle, you're a tall guy. I'm a tall guy. They're both 6'3". You're good looking. I'm good looking. We need to stick together. Us tall guys, we got to stick together. You know, we can't be picking each other off. We gotta stay strong and tall and good looking together.
I did not know that, you know, we could start putting people on the block if they are of a certain height. It's like 6'2" and under, yes, are eligible.
Exactly. Daniel, he talks a lot about leaving his HOH door unlocked, but what he does not talk about is that it has one of those carnival, you must be this tall to ride the non-being nominated ride. Right. Except that didn't work for Michael.
Exactly. Like, what? It's totally fine to like just do what you want to do, but don't try to back it up so hard with these hours of explanation when you just completely go against it by nominating one of the tallest guys in the house. Like, if that's what you're doing, that, like, are you trying to say he's not all those other things you described?
Maybe he's not good looking enough.
Michael is handsome. He needs to get out of here.
So good conversation between Kyle and Daniel. That's what Daniel is up to for now. Of course, on the screen in the living room, it's saying nominations are today. Daniel doesn't even know that yet. He's going to walk by it multiple times without seeing it, and eventually be informed by Michael that, so I assume you've seen the nominations today. He's like, what? But that's what Daniel's up to right now. Let's move over to the other person who is doing more gaming than the HOH. What is Paloma up to? So, if you can recall from the previous two updates, we have Paloma and Alyssa, final two, Scorpio sisters, and or whatever it was. And they made a women's alliance called the Girls Girl Alliance, which I refer to as the Girls Girls when I don't want to put alliance at the end of it. So the Girls Girl, Girls Girls Alliance is all of the women minus Taylor and Nicole, aka Alyssa, Amira, Brittany, Indy, Jasmine, and Paloma.
With an asterisk by Indy.
Yes, yes. Indy included, but not really talked a lot of game with. I think Indy had a better day today than she did the day before. But they have that alliance going. Paloma has also started creating the other alliance that her and Alyssa were discussing creating, which includes some guys that can win some comps for them. That alliance initially began as Paloma, Alyssa, Monty, and Pooch as the sort of first four that were included in the conversation to create the alliance. They discussed adding in Kyle and Amira. So they eventually did approach Kyle on day two. They brought him in. They got Amira. Amira is in. However, when Pooch and Turner are busy approaching Daniel for the Motley Crue alliance, Paloma notices that Pooch is all up in Turner's business and vice versa, and she starts to get a little sketched out. Monty has either always been a little sketched out by Pooch, or also got the sense on day two that he wasn't sure about Pooch. And they end up discussing, let's not include Pooch. What if we replace Pooch with somebody like Joseph? That would be Monty's choice, because Monty is really close with Joseph. Or Michael. And Paloma really pushes for Michael, because who would expect Michael to be in this group? If you put both personal trainers in this group, I mean, Joseph, Monty, and Kyle, like, people are going to see that a mile away. But if we add Michael in, he can cover some other kinds of bases for us, right? And so Monty and Kyle both end up agreeing with that logic. And in the minds of Paloma, Monty, and Kyle, who discussed it late in the night on day two, that they have now agreed that Michael will join this new six-person alliance. And they even came up with a name for it. It's Mamba.
In an honor of Kobe Bryant.
Yes.
So I wonder, can they keep that, though? I'm pretty sure Mamba mentality. Well, maybe Mamba mentality is trademarked. Maybe Mamba is. I'm not sure. But
I feel like they'll, because they talk about it like the snake Mamba. Mm-hmm. They're like, we'll like wrap around you. And I don't remember exactly whatever the snake Mamba does. I'm not a snake expert. But either way, Mamba is the name. And that's just the recap to get you to where we are now, which is that here on day three, Paloma approaches Michael and gives him the pitch for Mamba. She says, we want you in the alliance. It's myself, Alyssa, Amira, Monty, and Kyle. We want you in. What do you think? He's like, sure. And then after she leaves, he's like, absolutely not. Clearly I'm number six in that alliance, but I'll use it to my advantage.
And that's always what we want to see. We want to see a fan go in and keep those, like, remember what you've seen. Like, for him to hear all the names, he's not thinking, oh my gosh, I'm so glad to be included. How sweet of Paloma to let me in. This is great. This is what I've always wanted, to be a part of a big alliance. He's thinking, No, you just named everybody in the Alliance and you're approaching me last. That means I am the last to be included. So why would I do that? I am the lowest on the totem pole. So I love this reaction from him. Like whether he acts on it or not, I did appreciate like him feeling that in that moment.
Yes, I think it's a pretty good instinct to have as long as it's very private. Like, yeah. but it's also like at the same time, like it is day three. And if you're sixth in a six person alliance, on day three, you have a lot of time to really like talk to those people and maybe change that or, you know, get a sense of where you actually stand. I mean, if I was Michael in this spot, like, I don't think he recognizes it yet. But I mean, he should have been cheering. Like, this is fantastic news. It doesn't matter if he's sixth or 10th in this alliance. This is really good news for Michael, and potentially his saving grace. But either way, I think he's thinking about it in the correct way and approaching it in the correct way so far. So, we will see where all of that goes. So. Daniel is going to talk with some of the bros once he figures out that the nominations are today. He talks with Monty, Joseph, and Pooch, a little bit all together, also a little bit separate. They kind of come in and leave at different times. But the gist of all of what's happening there is that, he's just going to be repeating that line about like, hey, us tall guys got to stick together. Pooch is like, oh, I'm not tall though. I'm kind of like a 5'10" kind of like average height.
He calls himself a short king.
He's like, oh, but you're still like strong guy. That's yeah, strong guy. So Pooch is very much like, yeah, we're broing it down. Monty's approach is very like, hey, I'm here to help you out, whatever you need. If you want me to, you know, play in the veto for you, win the veto for you, whatever it is, like I'm here to support you. And Joseph's approach is like, basically, word salad. Hey, so yeah, what I was trying to say last night and when I tried to come up was that, like, you know, I think that with people, we should all be nice and work together. And like, you know, we're all bros and we like each other. And so what I was thinking was that if you were with us or with me or whatever, then I think that basically it would be. And then, but before that, I was thinking that like what we could do was that like, if you basically, if it worked like that, then maybe if you like didn't make us not haves in the future, that we could maybe like do something with that. And so I think that, you know, ultimately it would be fine.
In terms of word count, I feel like Joseph and Paloma are neck and neck. Because I feel like a lot of times, like specifically with this example, Joseph is so meta about the conversation. Like he has the conversation, but then he starts talking about how he came to the conclusion about what he's saying. Mm-hmm. And he has to take you on this journey of all of his thoughts. And I don't know if it's a nerves thing or if he just doesn't want people assuming things that he's thinking or not thinking. But yeah, it's kind of funny.
Yeah. And I think that, there are a couple of situations throughout the day where we're hearing about these alliances. People like Joseph. They feel good about Joseph, but it's almost like the situation with Terrence, where people like Terrence. But they don't, nobody's really including Joseph in any alliances. And I think it's primarily because of this communication issue. That it's a little bit difficult to really like just get on the same level and talk game with him. He's a really sweet guy. People really like him. He's really nice. But when it comes to like, are we going to include him and talk game with him and strategize and plan with him? Maybe not. Maybe we'll just look out for him.
Yeah, he's one of those people, which I also feel the exact same way about Kyle, where you can't, if you were to just say, what's his personality like? I mean, I feel like you could describe that with a lot of people at this point. But with Joseph, it's just like, it's a very it's very reactive to whoever he's talking to. And Kyle is the exact same way. Kyle, I would like to see Kyle lead a conversation. He's very reactive. He's just, oh yeah, what? That happened. Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. Where it's just like, that's his personality, is just being impressed about whatever you're saying to him. And I feel Joseph is the same way, where he's just reacting to what people are saying. And so it's very hard to get a read on who he is as a person.
It's working for Kyle so far, but yes, every conversation Kyle is in just feels so fake to me. He's so overly complimentary of like when he's talking to Paloma, and he's just like, you are the most incredible person I've met in my entire, like, screw all of these people. Can we just give you all the money, please? Like, you're going to be so amazing. Can you just like adopt me and like have me as your baby child? Like, you're just the best. And it's like, whoa. Yeah. He's talking to, Paloma later in the day. Paloma is obsessed with Pride and Prejudice, and he's like, oh, I love that movie too. And she loves Keira Knightley's character. And he's like, yes, Keira Knightley's character is the best. Oh, she's just amazing. When I watch that movie, I just fast forward through all the other parts, and I only watch the Keira Knightley parts because she's so great. And like, okay.
You know what? He sounds like every TikTok comment that he probably did. he's just taking on this persona of all the TikTok comments he gets. And that probably probably boosts his ego a little bit. And so he's like, if I do that, they're going to feel really good because I am just putting them on this pedestal. But it's just like, no, that's too much, too much.
I might have said Paloma for the first. He was talking to Indy when he was saying, you're the most amazing person. He was talking to Paloma when he was talking about Pride and Prejudice, yes. if I got that wrong. So, that's Kyle. But it's working for him for now. As I said, people seem to like him, and he is being included in things. Because I think one of the major differences here between Kyle and Joseph is that even though Kyle is like that a lot, when you do talk game with him, he is able to like chill for a second and like really get down to it and communicate. Whereas Joseph is a little more abstract.
I see someone in the comments said that like he has a lot of TikToks about his Brazilian ex. And so people are like, oh, he's going to be crazy about Indy because she's Brazilian. And I thought he was flirting until I realized he acts that way with everyone. And then he said, bring me on as your child. I'm like, okay, but he's not flirting. So
he wants to be her child. That's
right.
That's very different. Normal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Back to Paloma. I just described all of what happened with Mamba, right? That they're replacing Pooch with Michael. She's now approached Michael about it. You may have been under the assumption that, okay, all of that's happening and everyone's cool with it. Well, Paloma has not yet talked to Alyssa or Amira about this. So Paloma, having fully replaced Pooch with Michael and approached Michael and given him all the names of the people in the Alliance and invited him to the Alliance, is now going to go to Alyssa and Amira and fill them in. So a lot has happened. Last night, she tells the story. She lets them know, we've swapped out Pooch for Michael. And now it's called Mamba. You might think they'd be like, whoa, slow down. But they were both like, oh, cool. Awesome. Yeah. Love it.
Right. I don't know why people have just given over the reins and allowed her to just be president of the Alliance Creations. It's just, it's too early. They're afraid of the backlash. They're afraid that, oh, she has the power to bring people in. She could kick me out the Alliance if she wants to. It's just so funny when we see these power structures be created and how people just come into these leadership roles that they put themselves in, and then other people just, they just let them.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see how long it lasts, but yes, Amira, Alyssa is, I would say, most accepting. Amira is at first like, oh, but that's a little concerning just because I'm worried that is Monty going to be okay with that? Cause I think that Monty and Pooch are like super tight. And Paloma's like, no, Monty was like wanting it the most. He was saying that Pooch is a wild card. He doesn't want to work with him. She's like, wow, that's so surprising. And so Amira is basically like, okay, well, this is great then, because we've got two different six person alliances. We just need to, it's very important that we balance both of them. We make sure we keep both of them. Cause like Brittany was talking to me earlier about like, when are we going to talk again as an alliance? If they can balance both of these alliances, this is great because the three of them will be at the core of both of them. And she says, really important for me. I just want the three of us, Amira says to Alyssa and Paloma, that we all agree that we're like our final twos. And Paloma's like, yeah, yeah, final three. because she's like, I really want a woman to win this thing. We're going to make this happen. And so basically, they've agreed, they've set up this structure. It's Paloma's house structure. It's the girls, the six women, and it's the Mamba Alliance. And it's Paloma, Alyssa, and Amira, the three of them in both of those two alliances. So ultimately it's a 9-person structure, with two overlapping 6-person alliances, making up the 9 people.
Right. And it makes me wonder, are they going to just try to make it one? Because you could just have a 9-person alliance and pull a bomb squad.
Right. Well, so the plan that they talk about is that right now to keep it separate. And because the idea is that they've got the women thing, and then they've also got this like gender neutral, gender balanced one with 3 women, 3 men. And the idea eventually is to take out the men. Once they've used them for challenges enough, they have to turn on the guys and kind of move forward with more of the women. And they're hoping that with the inclusion of Michael, that instead of Michael, like, or instead of Pooch or Joseph, who would be like a bro, they're hoping that Michael might be more on their side, willing to take out those two guys, Monty and Kyle, for them. So I think the ultimate goal would be like, hey, you guys think you're playing us, but actually we've got numbers behind us and we've got Michael. And when the time comes, we're going to ride over you. Whereas if they included the women into this group, the guys would probably start to be like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. But then that feels so different from the you know, original ideas that Paloma has later in the day.
Well, yeah, she starts. Yeah. So Amira is going to talk with Monty after that conversation. She just checks in with him like, so we've replaced Pooch with Michael? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, I thought you were really tight with Pooch. She's like, nah, he's a wild card. He's not reliable. Well, that's great. They start chatting. They get along really well. And she starts giving him advice, just like, well, if you're, you know, not with Pooch, like you should probably separate a little bit. Even you and Kyle might need to separate, just because people are starting to group you together. And also like, chill with the workouts, dude. Like, that is a threat if I've ever seen one.
She was like, take off some of the plates. Like, y'all were doing a lot yesterday.
And she was like, tell Kyle to keep his shirt on, because you can't really tell until he takes it off.
Yeah, because they were in the bathroom and Kyle like stretched. And she's like, Kyle, those muscles. I did like this talk between them, because I felt like I hadn't seen a lot of them one-on-one. And so it was... I know Monty mentioned like he's an alpha. He was asking her about that. That was just kind of like the segue conversation. But he's a member of the Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity, which is like the brother fraternity of the sorority I'm in, Alpha Kappa Alpha. So I was like, I am rooting for Monty. He just seems like a great guy. But I think there is something to Monty and Amira just being, just having loyalty to each other that could like overtake the all these different alliances that are happening. Like I could see something there, not you know, not a showmance or anything, but just kind of like a brother sister, we got each other's back type of thing.
I do think so far that of the women in the alliance, Monty definitely has bonded with Amira the most. Mm-hmm. Would probably be loyal to her primarily. Of the women, and there's more to that, I think, a little bit later as well. However, that being said, I think that he is probably most loyal still to Kyle and even Joseph to a degree. He's still a little bit of a bro in that sense. And one of his philosophies in the game is to make sure that he keeps enough other big, he genuinely feels the way that Daniel does, in the sense that like he does want to keep bigger guys around because he doesn't want to be the only one left. So there is a little bit of a philosophy conflict within Mamba, where the women are trying to kind of like sneakily take out the guys, and the guys are kind of like trying to sneakily keep each other around. So this gender divide may still play into a lot of what's happening, and the way that the house is structured kind of supports that. As a direction that the house might go, which we'll get into as we move forward. So Amira talks to Monty and she's talking about Daniel, and she's like, well, make sure you talk to Daniel because we don't want you being nominated or anything. And Monty's like, oh, well, I already talked to Daniel. And when I talked to him, now remember that early on day two, Amira was the first person to talk to Daniel. And she got herself off of his radar by doing so. And she really encouraged him to take a shot at one of the big guys. And at the time, that was, you know, Monty, Kyle, Joseph, any one of those people. She has since decided it should be Joseph because she's working with Monty and Kyle. However, she is a little bit concerned now, like, oh, well, you make sure you go talk to him because I don't want it to be you, essentially, that goes up. She still thinks that Daniel might put up a big guy. She does not know that Daniel has been going around saying, if you're 6'3" and above, you got to pass right, unless you're Michael. And so, so Monty says, oh, I already talked to Daniel. And he was basically like, yeah, definitely don't want to touch any of the big guys because I don't want them coming back at me. And, she was like, oh, really? Very clearly annoyed, and like ends the conversation very quickly after that. And is going to go and talk to Daniel as soon as she can.
Yeah. And it's interesting how now she knows this. And when she talks to Daniel, Daniel does not, he skirts around the issue. He's not as forthcoming as he was about like, oh, I think the easiest thing would be Terrence and Michael, as he has told the guys, he's told Nicole, but he didn't tell that to Amira.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Amira basically goes to Daniel. This is going to be after his conversation with Nicole, but we can go back to that just to finish off the Amira stuff. She basically goes up and is like, hey, remember what we talked about? Those have not guys, remember big targets? And Daniel just, yeah, he's not really budging this time. He's already kind of made up his mind. It's the importance of like sticking on the, you know, she got in there early. She made a lot of progress. He was definitely considering taking a big shot, and then left him alone for like, you know, 28 hours. And then by the time she came back, it was like she was safe still, but his mind had been made up that he was not going to target a big guy. That is a no-go.
And he needed a reason, you know, it's that Vanessa Russo. Yeah. I need a reason. The fact that he had in his mind the reason solidified, like it was foolproof for him of why he was thinking about Terrence and Michael. If he had been given a better reason, that could have been on the table, but he didn't provide her with all that information. And I feel like if he had, Amira could have at least taken that information back and then maybe revisited him or come up with something on the spot of why she was thinking that Joseph really should go up.
Yeah. So prior to the conversation with Amira, Daniel had talked to Nicole, and this is so it's prior to that conversation, but after his conversation with the bros, and he lets her know, so I've been talking with the bros, and basically I've been really playing up this like, oh, I'm tall like you guys, and like I'm totally like, I don't want to take a shot at big guys. I don't think that we should take a shot at each other. But just so you know, Nicole, I could care less about these guys. I don't want to work with them. I don't want them to run this show. I just don't think I can take this shot right now, but I'm just placating them. And you can tell that Nicole is a little bit like, okay, like, all right. Like I get why, but it's a little annoying, but I get why. And so with that in mind, here are the options I've got for nominations. Michael, you know, he did talk to me a little bit, but he's just, you know, easy person to put up. I just feel like that's an easy one. Terrence is somebody that, you know, doesn't seem to have a lot of connections, didn't really talk much, hasn't really talked any game with me. Taylor, I've heard her name a lot. She hasn't really talked game with me either. Doesn't seem like she's got a lot of connections. And then Indy, same. Like, hasn't talked game with me. Doesn't seem to have a lot of connections. He's going for the easiest people possible that that will have like piss off the least amount of people. And he plans to use that as the reason as well. Like he's like, he continues to talk about how like, man, Pooch really like he took the best excuse by picking all the people who were out first. And he also talks to Pooch about that. And like Pooch is starting to get an ego about it. Like Pooch is now talking about like, yeah, man, like when that commercial break happened, I really didn't know what to do. And then it just hit me. It was like the first person out. And it was like, oh man, thank God I thought of that. Like, and then he's got Daniel like, man, it was such a good idea. He's like, I know.
Ridiculous.
So that's going on. So basically his thing is that the thing he's going to say is I'm nominating the people that basically didn't talk game with me. And then he's like, but Michael did talk game with me. So I'll just say that everyone has talked game with me, which is not true, but I'll just say whoever talked game with me the least. And so then, that's going to be the line.
Which is so annoying because really what like, I mean, I guess, did he really vocalize his real reason for wanting Michael up if it wasn't solely the game thing? Like, he's having to justify it because he's like, okay, whoever talked, you know, whatever. But it's just like, is it just that he doesn't see a future for them working together? Like, what is it?
I think that right away, he was thinking about who are easy nominations, and Michael is somebody that stood out immediately because he was awkward in group situations, right? Mm-hmm. And so he already had Michael in his head as like, he's not really fitting in super well. He's not like socializing very well. And then the incident happened where Michael asked him to talk game in front of Brittany. It's very awkward. And that was like, oh, see, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Awkward Michael. And then from then on, it was like, okay, so I'm thinking about maybe nominating Michael. Michael's name got brought up when he's talking to Amira. Turner suggested Michael's name. A bunch of people started suggesting Michael's name, and it just snowballed, I think. Where it was like, okay, Michael is a pawn. Wouldn't want him to go. Michael. Who else? Who else do I put up? Nobody. Michael's the only person he's taken, like everybody's on, like, if there's a line in the middle, everybody's on the left side of like, chill, cool, don't want to upset them. Michael passed to the other side of the line into, yeah, I'm probably nominating him territory almost immediately, while everybody else stayed on the other side. And so Michael just stayed there accumulating this, like, I don't really care about Michael. He's going on the block. I don't really care about him. And it just grew and grew and grew until he was like, yeah, Michael, I would want gone, actually. Like, he's the only one. And that's basically where he stands. Michael is kind of like the person he would want to target. And he's got these other options for who he'd probably put up next to Michael: Terrence, Taylor, and Indy. Now, when he first talked to Nicole about making the final two, she mentioned that she was close with Taylor and Terrence. And so, you know, you might think maybe she'll say something about this. Maybe it will be Indy. However, her response was basically, yeah, with Terrence, I love him, but he's struggling. I don't really know. He's not really talking any game. He's not doing much. I don't think I can really I don't think we can work with him long term or anything like that. It's trouble. And even with Taylor, she doesn't really say much at first. She's kind of just like, yeah, I've also been trying to talk game with Taylor. She's not really biting. I feel like I like her. I'm close with her, but like, she's just not talking much game. So I'm not really sure. She eventually does say like, look, I do think, and she also says this, I think if you put Taylor up, she'd flip out. But if you don't put her up, she could be a good ally. So maybe that's not what you want to do. And so he kind of takes Taylor off the table.
Yeah, I'm so over everyone in the house saying that. Yeah. Like I like Nicole, but good. Like, why is everyone saying that? Specifically Taylor. They're not saying, oh, if you put up Kyle, he's gonna flip out. Oh, if next week, if you put up Paloma, she's gonna freak out. What has Taylor done besides breathe fresh air that has indicated that she's gonna do anything? It's just like, it's so annoying because they're doing all this talking about her and she has no idea. She's just innocently walking around the house trying to figure out. Just trying to figure out people, figure out who's talking to who, figure out who's, you know, maybe aligned. And that all of this chatter and this obsession, I know we have not even gotten into Paloma's obsession, but all of this obsession with Taylor, of her probably going to have a natural reaction to being nominated out of nowhere, you know, like blindsided. Yeah.
Like her reaction would probably be like, oh man, that's upsetting. And they'd be like, ah, see how we knew it.
Yeah. It's gross. It's actually gross. And it's so annoying. I need them to stop that. I just need them to stop the Taylor slander.
I will say, big faux pas later in the day, she did have a conversation with Paloma. When Paloma was talking to Kyle about Pride and Prejudice, she turned to Taylor and Paloma's like, what did you think of Pride and Prejudice? And, Taylor, man, this is, I can't even, it's hard to even repeat. Taylor said, I thought it was really boring. I'm sorry. Oh, no.
Oh, God forbid she has her own opinion about things. Oh, it's so annoying. And yeah, literally someone in the chat just said, this is why the cookout existed. Exactly. We see this every season. There is someone on Twitter who has put a graphic of just people who have just existed in the house and the house has been so bothered. Taylor is now a part of that list because she has done nothing but give her own opinions about things. I'm sorry. I haven't even finished the movie because I also thought it was a little boring, but that's just not my type of movie.
Oh no.
I know Paloma is going to come for me, but it's just annoying.
Oh boy. Taylor is off the table of nominations. It's Michael, Terrence, Indy still there. As the conversation progresses, it seems more and more like it's going to like tend toward what he was talking about the night before, which is Michael and Terrence. But he wouldn't want Terrence to go. He just feels like Terrence would be easier to talk down. I'm sorry I put you up, but I don't want you to go. Indy might be a little more difficult. And so he's thinking Terrence can go up, Michael can go up. And then hopefully Michael would go home, essentially. And that's kind of where he leaves off with that. That's when Amira comes in, tries to push the big guy talk. Not happening. He also talks with Alyssa, Jasmine, Indy. They're all good conversations. some of a little bit brief. The best one is probably with Alyssa. He's afterward, he's like, I like her a lot. She's clearly using her looks, but that's fine.
I'm okay with that.
You didn't need to say that out loud. Right. Jasmine tries to push Taylor, but it doesn't work.
Taylor is just sitting in her thoughts. It's just like every other word has to be about Taylor. It's just like, Jasmine, how did you use your time to talk about how you don't know Taylor well?
Yeah. And like Jasmine is probably the person most pushing Taylor at this point. Because even Paloma at later in the day is like, basically they all like tell, like stories, around the table later in the day. Taylor's story essentially is like about how she's kind of an introvert and she sometimes struggles like, to get to know people initially and stuff. And it seemed like that really started to change some opinions on her, like started to open the eyes of like Alyssa and Paloma a little bit as to like who Taylor actually is. And at one point, Paloma was like, I think we've been a little mean to Taylor. I bet the internet's probably pretty mad at us about that. And Jasmine's just like, no, she's not a girl's girl, remember? She's like, oh yeah, that's true.
What you've been through does not give you permission to be rude to people. Yeah. Jasmine, I need you to explain to me what Taylor has done to you.
Yes.
Just, I don't get it. It's just like, I could not see myself it always seems like they're pumping something into that house. Because it just does not make sense. How is just this group think that just overtakes everybody? It is if let's say Paloma had never started talking about Taylor, I don't think any of this Taylor talk would be happening. But it's because the start with Paloma and Alyssa and Jasmine has just taken it in new form. It's just like, is this Stranger Things? It's just like, it's growing. It's getting stronger. From nothing, from small comments that they think that she's being rude when all she's trying to do is have conversations and have opinions. Just because someone does not have, this is getting too big, but if someone has a different opinion than you, if small things, right? If Paloma said she likes hot dogs and Taylor said, ugh, hot dogs are gross, that would be the talk of the next 24 hours.
Right? No, yeah. It's little pieces of quote unquote evidence that like you get a feeling, whether or not that feeling was like, you know, intended by the person. You get a feeling, you put it in a little box and you lock it away and you never actually look at it, but it still serves as evidence that like this person is bad. And so like, even when you're hearing like these stories and you're like, your natural instant inclination is to like empathize with the person. You're like, wait a minute, but remember the evidence. just because she's been through some stuff does not mean that she had the right to do that evidence. And it's like, what is the evidence? No, I don't look at that.
Right. When Brittany goes, stuff. Well,
we all agree. We all agree. It's just stuff, right? Like we can all agree to that. And it's socially reinforced and it's.
Literally Brittany said, what did she do? And Paloma changes the conversation. Like, she could have been so powerful in this house. It's just like, come on, drop it.
So that's happening. Pooch is and Monty and Kyle and Joseph are going to talk loosely about the guys sticking together. That the bros are going to come together. Remember that Pooch and Turner suggested to Daniel that they pull in Monty and Kyle, and so they're talking about this loose kind of association of guys, and they're like, yeah, bros sticking together, it'll be great. Oh, and the best thing is, like, none of us have any ego, you know.
That's why it works, because we don't have ego works. Like yeah. Other seasons.
This is later going to become called by Pooch Oasis, which is basically the guys minus Terrence and Michael, with Joseph as kind of like an add-on. I believe was the term. Again, like looking out for him, but not like in the thing.
Right. I mean, but if Joseph were ever in harm, he would be relying on them. And then are they thinking, no, we won't, we're not going to save him. I don't know. It's this like plus one to an alliance. Like, why? You just want a number, just include them. But it was funny after this conversation, after all these guys were talking, that Pooch was just, is as if someone like he had taken like some type of
stimulant?
Literally, he was just so pumped up. He's like, oh, I love conversations like that. I can't settle down. He just needed to act after that because he was just, and then you had the contrast.
He's high on bro juice.
Right. Turner is just next to him, like super chill. Like, yeah, man, that was great.
Turner's like, who was in that conversation?
Right. Exactly.
Daniel does talk with Taylor. It's a quick conversation, but it's a good one. Taylor basically saying, I'm not coming for you. I'd love to work with you. He says he likes her. Basic stuff. But just kind of locks in the fact that he's definitely not nominating her. We eventually do get to the nominations, and Daniel does in fact nominate Michael and Terrence. Michael is pretty surprised, especially because Daniel's excuse was, I nominated like the people that talked the least amount of game with me. And Michael's like, but I did talk game with you. And like, when I talk game with you, you kind of like left. Like, you were kind of like, oh, I'm going to go get food. And I wanted to talk more, but like, you stopped the conversation. So yeah. I'm just a little surprised.
Yeah, it's not sound. And it's just like, okay, if Michael stays, Daniel, you can't say anything if Michael turns around and tries to put you up because of this flawed logic. Because it's like, oh, I did talk game to you, but you didn't want me talking game to you. But now that's the reason I'm on the block. You also said you wouldn't nominate anyone under 6'2". I'm 6'3". Hello.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like for some reason, like my tall card is not scanning properly. Right. I don't know what's happening here, but it should work. You should see. Like, I promise, like, look at no stilts, right. You know?
When I stand next to you, we're looking at each other eye to eye.
And Terrence, I would say, is less surprised, more disappointed. He was worried about it all day, the day before. And that's part of like, he was struggling the day before. I can't even look at Terrence. It breaks my heart. This man, he's a fan. He was nerding out about Survivor. He just wants to like be there, have fun, DJ it up a little bit, drive a bus over someone maybe at some point. He's getting put on the block here, and it's very sad.
It really is. And I have really enjoyed watching Terrence. But I do have a question. Have we seen him in any other room than that kitchen dining area? Like, that's the only room in the house I can picture him in.
He's in the bedroom with the sliding doors, occasionally. You know, obviously, I think we've talked about it. The age thing is not helping at all. In addition to that, obviously there's more that he could be doing.
Yes.
You know, he's not really talking game with many people. He approached Jasmine, and Jasmine kind of shut him down. But like, talk to Nicole. She likes you. She's in with Daniel. Talk to Daniel. Like, do more. He's going to bed at like super early hours. He's just like, he's not up when most of the game talk is happening. And it's just, it's definitely rough. And as of right now, so with Michael and Terrence on the block, before any campaigning has been done, Michael theoretically has the Mamba Alliance plus the Women's Girls Alliance. And the combination of the two alone should be enough to save Michael and take Terrence out. But we will see where all of that goes. Now, that's because with the backstage thing going on, there's actually, obviously Daniel can't vote as HOH. There's two nominees. That leaves 13 votes. Then there's four backstage people who can't vote. That means there's 9 votes total. So there's also, there's 9 people in the Paloma structure. Daniel or Michael being on the block makes 8. 3 of them are backstagers. And so that brings it down to 5, but 5 out of 9 is still enough to save Michael just with those votes. Add on top of that, that Monty's tight with Joseph. So if Monty is voting to keep Michael, Joseph will likely follow. And you're starting to see that, you know, Michael is looking pretty good as things stand. Granted, as things stand is pretty shaky. Definitely not locked in by any means, but that's where things stand as of the nominations.
Yeah. And I did appreciate them bringing back the feeds as they were getting up from the table of the nomination. So thank you for that, production.
The feeds have been like on.
Yeah. I'm overwhelmed. It's so much. I'm like, I'm not used to getting so much and then so few feeds cuts. Like, we've heard so much, which is great. It's taking some getting used to.
Yeah. Paloma immediately reassures Michael, Mamba has you. We've got a bulletproof plan. You're so good. Daniel explains to both Michael and Terrence his whole, you didn't talk game with me reasoning, blah, 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 blah. It's fine. To Terrence specifically though, he says, you're definitely not my target. You've never been my target. You never will be my target. I'm not telling Michael that. The only reason I even talked to Michael is because he came up first. Like you're my guy. And Terrence is like, hopefully I'll win that veto. And he's like, yeah, that'd be great. And so it's very clear. Daniel's making it very clear that Terrence is not the target. Michael is the target. To Michael, he's not saying you're the target, but to Terrence, it's clear that, that he is not the target.
Which is good, because that takes us all the way back to that conversation he had with Nicole earlier in the day, where he was like, okay, should I tell Michael he's the pawn? She's like, no, don't don't say that. Just give your reasoning for putting both of them up. You don't have to tell either one that they're a pawn, because clearly that would have changed if he had gone ahead and told Michael he was the pawn.
Yes. And so what's interesting, you know, Michael is the person who said it in the preseason, first HOH, 4 times as likely to win the game. And I referenced the podcast that we did, talking about the math of winning the first HOH. The key factor, being the first HOH and having a successful game to follow is that, you have a successful first HOH run, in the sense that you name a target, or, you know, basically the end result of your HOH reign, cannot be that you failed. Yeah. Whether that means you named a target and then that target left, or, you know, you were like, I don't care who goes. You had no public preference whatsoever. And you had a successful HOH reign. That's very key. The first HOHs that did not, succeed, that did not, you know, have essentially the house behind them for their first HOH, very consistently failed. Those that did have the house behind them after their first HOH very consistently did very well. So the fact that Daniel right now is backing the wrong horse, so to speak, is not promising for his future in the game, unless he's able to turn things around, which is not impossible.
Yeah, with Paloma in his ear, anything is possible, with the fact that we haven't had the veto yet. Mm-hmm.
So, Amira is going to talk with Brittany and briefly catch up, kind of like just celebrating the fact that none of the girls are up on the block. They both agree Michael is probably the one to keep. So that's already kind of formulating. Paloma, as I said, is going around. She talked to Michael, like, got a bulletproof plan. She goes to Monty and she's like, plan is bulletproof. We're good. Now pause, rewind. Monty did not know that Michael was going up on the block. Monty just included Michael in the alliance. Michael ends up on the block and he's like, what? No. Ah. Now, Paloma and the women, they already knew Michael was going up. When Paloma filled them in on the fact that Michael was being included in Mamba, they were like, oh, but Michael might go up on the block. And they were like, who cares? We can save him. If anything, it just makes him more reliant on us. Great. But Monty did not know about that. So Monty's kind of freaking out a little bit. Monty's like, oh man, Michael just went on the block. That's one of our alliance members. Like, that's no good. And so when Paloma comes up full of confidence, plan is bulletproof. He's like, what? What are you talking about? Yeah. What do you mean? What's happening? And she's like, dude, Mamba, obviously. He's like, what are you, I don't understand. Mamba, we have the votes to keep. What do you not know what Mamba is? Monty, what's happening? Right. You're freaking me out, Monty. He's like, no, I know what Mamba is. She's like, we have the votes to keep Miley. He's like, oh, no, I get it now. And she's like, did you just forget about Mamba? Monty, what are you doing to me? Are you with me or no? He's like, no, I'm with you. We're good. It's a very awkward moment.
Yeah, all because of her. It's like, yes. You can't vote. You're walking around here like you can vote. You cannot vote. So, and Monty said, okay, with Mamba, we have 4 votes. Well, no, she can't vote. Alyssa can't vote. Mm-hmm. And then Michael's on the block.
Yes.
So, no, we don't have the numbers according to Mamba.
Yes, they have 3 votes in Mamba.
Yeah. Clearly. But she tells Monty and Michael, we got the girls. Like, we have the girls. We got the girls. And I know Twitter was freaking out. She's like, oh my gosh, she just told him the alliance. But Paloma's logic, you can say girls, but, you know, because that is a thing. A girl's girl is a thing. They don't know that's the name of the alliance.
Yes. That's because, so Jasmine later is going to propose that they name the girls the Honeycombs. And I was like, thank Jasmine. But Paloma eventually was like, no, we can't call it the Honeycombs. We got to call it the girls, because that way you can say it in public and nobody knows. And I was like, Paloma, you're killing me.
Oh gosh. And for some reason, Jasmine just values every word that comes out of Paloma's mouth. So there was no fight put up. She's, oh, I see what you, I see what you're saying. She loves to say.
Yeah. So after Monty apologizes to Paloma, she explains, she says, well, look, okay, this is what's going on. I have Daniel wrapped around my finger. And basically what happened is, before Michael joined the alliance, I had said to Daniel, like, oh, you should put Michael up as a pawn. And then he did it because I told him to, but then that was before he joined and I didn't have time to, like, don't do that anymore. So I accidentally got him on the block, but it's fine because we'll be able to keep him. And Monty's just like, okay, well, yeah, you probably don't need to tell him that or anything, though. Like, we can just keep that a secret.
Right. Do not share that. But on that same, like, point, when she's later talking to Alyssa, she's like, I have Daniel wrapped around my finger. He was giving me flirty eyes. And the person running Daniel's Twitter account this morning said, good morning to everyone except Paloma. They said he once gave me flirty eyes because I had brought him Starbucks. So stop.
Yeah. It's worth pointing out, though, Daniel does love Paloma. Maybe not in a flirty eyes way, but right. But he does speak very highly of her. And when he talked to Alyssa, Alyssa was like, oh, yeah, Paloma loves you. And he was like, oh, it's great because I love Paloma. Whenever they interact, it's like, she's very Daniel, can be very serious. Like, as the HOH, he's kind of just like, he's very like focused on like what he's got to do. With Paloma, he's kind of able to, I think, relax and kind of have fun in the conversation. And I think that's part of what's bonded them and part of what's made Paloma feel like she is able to control him.
Made her feel like a homie.
Yes. So obviously Paloma is very against his current agenda. So we'll see where that goes. But as of right now, she does feel like, she's got him wrapped around her finger, and is very willing to tell people about it. Right.
Paloma in her head is running this house. It is her game to lose at this point. The woman who can't compete in anything, doesn't have a vote, and is still at risk to go home and doesn't know how, but still knows she's at risk to go home this week. She thinks she's running the game.
Yep. To be fair, she kind of is right now.
I can't admit that.
Well, I mean, we'll see how long it lasts, but
right.
For right now, on day three. So Brittany also mentions to the girls that she likes Michael. She feels like maybe they could bring Michael in some kind of capacity. And Paloma and Alyssa are pretty cool with that, because obviously they've already brought Michael into the Mambas. And if they have, you know, just more connective tissue with Michael, then that would only help further their cause when they want to use Michael to take out the guys. Turner is going to have a conversation with Alyssa. So obviously right now the structure is kind of like, we've got the Paloma structure. We've got Michael and Terrence on the block. We've got Michael, probably having the votes to stay for now, where Daniel still wants Michael out. And then you've kind of got the guys starting to form up on this side. And basically what I talked about with this gender divide, you've got, again, Mambas, which is, Monty, Kyle, Michael, Alyssa, Paloma, Amira. And then you've got the girls on this side of that. And then you've kind of got Oasis on the other side with Monty, Kyle, and, you know, Pooch and Turner and them. And so you've got the all bro alliance, you've got the all women alliance, and then you've got an alliance in the middle that consists of equal parts women and bro. And so you can sort of see that, you know, the Paloma side is more organized for now with more sort of like structure, but the other side is definitely still there. And with the way that Big Brother competitions kind of play out, we could see maybe things starting to shift even more in that direction. But there is a little bit of, some intrigue here, because not only do we have this sort of like Brittany and Michael connection which kind of bonds them, but we also have a new connection that forms, which is Turner and Alyssa. They're having a good conversation, and Turner suggests, "Hey, why don't we work together?" He says that basically, you know, he's kind of with the guys. He suspects that she is with the women, her and Paloma, and so he's kind of like, "Look, I'm close with Pooch. You're close with Paloma. We're both in with the guys. You're both in with the women. What if we made a four-person thing and kind of like funneled information to each other? We can tell you about what's happening with the guys. You can tell us about what's happening with the women. And we can, you know, we can make something work. Alyssa is down, and we have the seeds of something here that will likely not actually form in any real way unless it's super convenient, because Paloma is pretty anti-Pooch, but worth noting, because it is kind of like if the center is Mamba and then on the side is girls and on the other side is Oasis, this is kind of like the wraparound. This is like take some girls, take some Oasis, and then like wrap it around. And you've got this new potential four person thing.
Yeah. I mean, and if what Michael said about, you know, wanting to expose this big alliance, maybe when he no longer like needs their votes, then this may be all that Paloma and Alyssa have to fall back on if everybody else is betrayed by what they find out. So, you know, there could be something there if Pooch and Turner don't care about, you know, the fact that Paloma is aligned with everyone else except for Taylor and Terrence.
So keep that in the back of your mind for now. In the meantime, Daniel does talk to Pooch for a bit. Let's Pooch know that he does want Michael to go. Pooch at this point doesn't really have much stake in either option. Turner then talks to Pooch, and he brings up the idea about working with Alyssa and Paloma. And Pooch is into it. Yeah, he's down for that. He says, well, and Turner brings up the idea of like funneling information to each other. He's like, well, obviously we won't give them important information. Useless information that just makes it seem like we're giving them information. Because they still feel best with the guys that, it's, first of all, it's Turner and Pooch. Those are the two. Then they're into, the Motley Crew, Turner, Pooch and Daniel. And then like the Oasis Bros. And then at the bottom of all of that would be this new thing with Alyssa and Paloma. If they were to, structure it in that way.
Yeah. This whole just basing all of their alliances on gender is so annoying because like Paloma is, I feel like she's the one that's most obsessed with it because she thinks there's no way that six women could last because we need the guys to win comps because women can't win comps or what. I just feel like they're, and maybe this is just something we usually miss on these first day of feeds. Like this is all they have to go off of. So maybe that's what they're clinging to because they don't know, like we need someone smart. Let's think of some people, you know,
it is. I think it is very common for gendered alliances to start in the first few days and then dissolve. Now I think that, you know, we talk about this, but like, it particularly seems to happen with women's alliances, which is often why they're like, oh, women's alliances never work. Whereas bro alliances are maybe a little more likely to stick together, but it really happens with both. And so, you know, I think it's because you go in, your first instinct is people that are most similar to me. You group up with them and then, you know, as time goes on, you develop actual relationships and things start to shift a little bit. And so you usually get some, maybe something that starts out as a bit of like, you know, this is a bro alliance, but then they start to bring in women, or this is a women's alliance and they start to bring in men. Either way, it usually gets out of this realm, but, this one is they're pretty dedicated to it so far. So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we'll see. It's so hard too, because it's just like, okay, day three, we haven't even had a second episode.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see.
So Monty is going to talk with Joseph about keeping Michael. Joseph feels really bad for Michael having to be a have-not and be on the block. And so Monty's really playing up that angle to help convince Joseph to keep Michael around. So they're already trying to lock that vote in. Brittany and Taylor are going to talk as well as we get toward the end of the night. They're going to be just basically bonding a little bit over the fact that they're both kind of fans of the show and just like wanting to support each other. And Brittany asks Taylor, like, how do you feel about the women? And poor Taylor. It's like, you know, I really feel like we're all like, we all, you know, want to work with each other. Right. Like, I don't think that there's any women that would want to like go and work with the guys against the women or anything. I feel like we all want to stick together and work with each other, but like nobody just feels comfortable broaching the topic, you know? So it's like, oh.
I feel so bad. It's just like this response alone shows that she's not obsessed with them like they think she is, that she's not just has she just is plotting and she's just like, I'm going to take them down. I'm not a girl's girl. I'm a guy's girl. And so they all need to go. That's literally what they think she's thinking. But it's, yeah, I feel so bad because she's just innocently thinking that like everybody's still getting to know each other.
Yeah. So that happens. Taylor also is going to talk with Michael and kind of talk with him, giving him advice about like how to campaign, what he should maybe be doing. And they bond a little bit. And after he leaves, she's alone. She's kind of says like, wow, I didn't expect to be working with Michael, but I guess the here I am. Like, I love Terrence, but it's tough, you know, like he's not really in the game, and Michael is in the game and playing. And so she's maybe starting to lean toward keeping Michael, which probably doesn't matter if the Paloma structure holds, but if it breaks up in any way, could be an important vote.
Yeah, this was one of those updates that I like, you know, we're at that point where you can wake up anytime throughout the night and there's going to be feed updates on Twitter. And so this was one of those updates that was just like, yes, finally talk to Michael. I mean, people have been, you know, just fantasizing about a Daniel Reyes, Jason situation. And that's what they foresee with Taylor and Michael. But if y'all can get on the same page and she can have someone to bounce ideas off of, maybe it can start to open up that like all this other stuff is happening in the house. So I was really glad that they, you know, I hope we see more of that. Like, I hope that wasn't just a one and done. He's on the block, so he needs help. So we're talking game.
Mm-hmm. And that's most of the night. We are still going to get a couple of other things though. Monty talks to Michael up in the have not room and they kind of talk about Michael's been talking to, he talked to Amira about this. He's been talking to the Alliance, the Mambas about this. What do I do with the veto pick? Because obviously I would love to pick like Monty or Kyle to play in the veto for me, but, that might expose the Alliance if I pick them or if they win and use it on me. So, you know, what do I do? And so he's asking Monty about this and Monty says like, yeah, I mean, I think if I'm thinking about like my preference, I'd probably prefer not to play just if I had an option because I don't want to expose anything. And I feel like it would put me in a difficult position. Which I feel like is maybe not the call. Because basically, if you're in this position, if you're in Monty's position, I'm saying, yeah, I'll totally play. I'll play for you, whatever it is. Like, we can figure out how you can pick me in the event that you get house guest choice where it doesn't seem suspicious. And then if Monty doesn't want to use the veto on Michael and expose himself, just throw it.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
If you're not playing at all, then you don't, then you haven't won the veto and, you're not safe because you haven't won the veto. If you're playing in the veto and you throw it, you also don't have the veto. So it's like, there's no harm in just throwing it if you plan to not have the veto anyway. So you might as well just tell your ally you will support them and then just throw it. And by throwing it, you are also supporting them in some degree as well. So,
right. Giving them one more opportunity.
Yes, but he says maybe I wouldn't want to do it. But they keep talking about different options, and so they talk through some things. Michael says he just I think this is a ploy by Michael. I think this is a way of trying to build trust with Monty because Michael knows that Monty's close with Joseph, so. I can't say for certain, but it alarm bells went off in my head when Michael did this. Michael was like, so my only concern with this alliance is like, poor Joseph, right? Like, what are we going to do about Joe? Cause I don't want to leave him out to dry, you know? Like, I love Joseph. I don't want him to like, you know, be left out to dry. I want to make sure we're looking out for him. Like, can we bring him in? Maybe like, can we just like keep him, make sure that he's safe. And Monty's like, oh, I totally know what you mean. Like, I'm super tight with Joseph, but I don't know if we need to bring him in. And they talk through the whole thing that we've already kind of discussed about Joseph. And then Kyle comes in and Michael does the same thing when Kyle's there. He's like, yeah, just, you know, Joseph, I want to make sure we're looking out for Joseph. You know, we're all bros here. I really feel like this is Michael just acting like he cares about Joseph enough so that they think that he's a bro like them. But who knows?
I totally think that's the case because I think Michael is a big enough fan to know that people want to know what's in it for them. And if he knows that they are close to Joseph and maybe they already have something with, like in his mind, he's maybe thinking maybe they already have something with Joseph. So let me say this so that they're like, oh yeah, he is looking out for our full alliance if they do have like a guy's thing going on. So I think that was definitely on purpose. It wasn't an accident.
Mm-hmm. So they also talk a little bit about just, you know, so Monty agrees that they don't need to bring Joseph in officially, but they'll definitely be looking out for him. Michael says he thinks that Daniel and Nicole have something maybe with Turner. And that was a little surprising to Monty that Daniel and Nicole were tight. That's starting to become common knowledge in the house is that Daniel and Nicole are kind of a duo.
Except for Paloma has no idea because Paloma directly told Nicole, you're good. You're good. I've talked to Daniel and you're safe.
Yes.
It's like the nerve.
Paloma did bond a little bit with Nicole early in the day as well. The thing about Paloma is that she puts in the work, and that's why she's in like every alliance except for the men only one. Monty describes how Pooch is a bit of a wild card. That's why they didn't want to include him. Again, Kyle comes in. Michael tells them that, and this was interesting because we know that Michael has a bond with Brittany. They've talked about working together. They initially had talked about working with Turner, but Turner kind of shut that down. Michael actually says to them, the person I feel best outside of the alliance with is Brittany. But unfortunately, Brittany doesn't have a vote. So that doesn't help me very much. Kyle says he thinks that Pooch and Turner want a bro thing. So maybe Michael can kind of tap into that. They can get Pooch and Turner's votes, or Turner and Pooch's votes. So they're both kind of sharing information about their relationships and or groupings, with each other, which is promising for the Mambas, in that sense. Turner is also going to talk with Paloma late in the night, pitching his idea about working together with her. She says she loves it. But she is still, I think she's probably willing to work with Turner, but I don't think that she is, super into the idea of working with Pooch, at this time. But to, Turner's face, of course, she's like, oh, what a great idea. I was thinking about something similar. That's such a, you're a genius.
Yeah. And I can't remember if this was before or after, but her and Turner were talking to Daniel, and, this was when Paloma felt the need to say, oh, Taylor's always checking for me. She's always, there was one time in the kitchen, she asked where I was, and she's always checking for me. I think it's cute. You know, I respect her. She's a strong woman, but like, why do you need to know where I am all the time?
Yeah.
The guys just kind of like, they were like asking questions like, oh, you think, you know, is it like a sister type of thing? Or she's like, no, she's just always checking for me. I don't know.
she was talking to Daniel, in the HOH room, and they were like, oh, finally got some time alone. And they were kind of like trying to like have fun with each other. And then Turner came in. He was like, gotta use the bathroom, guys. Sorry. And they were like, we're not talking game.
Yeah.
He's like, right. Yeah. Sorry. No, I didn't want to interrupt or anything. And then, cause that was Daniel. He was like, we're not talking game or anything. It's fine. And then Paloma was like, yeah, I mean, see my shirt backstage. I can't even be nominated. So what do I have to talk to game about? You know? And Turner's just like, what's going on here?
Turner's really bad about that too. Anytime anybody comes in the room, he's, oh, we were just chilling. We're just talking about, just like, you don't have to justify it.
Mm-hmm. So that's happening. And that's basically the day. The feeds, I think just came back, and I think we do know the veto players now. I'm seeing that it's, Amira, Indy, and Turner were picked to play in the veto. And there now there's already a conversation between Daniel and Turner about what to do with the veto and about, the two nominees that, Turner is saying, I heard that the girls like Michael. You shouldn't gun too hard, to a girl to kick Michael out. And Daniel is saying, well, all we need is 5 votes. So this vote situation could get interesting here. Now at this time, Turner and Pooch are in the dark about the fact that Michael has the votes to stay. They are likely expecting Monty and Kyle to vote with them to keep Terrence. So that's sort of like the hurdle that needs to be jumped over before any kind of vote locks in. I don't think that Turner or Pooch care all that much about whichever one of them stays. It's mostly a Daniel directive. But we will see.
Yeah. They would only care if they knew that he had such a strong backing. And then they're like, wait, why does he have such a strong backing of people that care for him to stay? But yeah, I also see that he, Turner and Daniel agreed to keep the noms the same. So I guess of those three, Amira, Indy, and Turner, would anyone use the veto?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that we are, I think we're in a situation where, unless the nominee, wins the veto, we are not going to see any shifts. I mean, as of right now, again, like, it's the first week and things are very much, up in the air. So, yeah. Like I could maybe see Amira. I could maybe see Amira using it if they feel like the votes might be tighter, if she thinks she has enough of an excuse. But she probably would just do what I said Monty should do, which is throw it, because she might not want to expose herself. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and there were all the miscellaneous things throughout the day, but I think one thing that was usually is the time people take a break from feeds. They were having dinner. They all went around and expressed gratitude for certain things. And Taylor really opened up about how she feels the importance of her friendships. Of course, she's close to family, but her friendships mean the most to her. And she's like, even if I meet someone today and we develop a strong friendship, like that means the world to me. And she's bawling. It just was a very genuine moment. It was her opening up, finally, what everybody's been wanting. Everybody's been wanting her to tear down a wall, open up so they could see the real her. And then later, the girls are talking, which is what we referenced earlier, of Jasmine, well, just because you went through what you went through doesn't mean you could be rude to people. And it's just like, they're like, what if she's acting? They're like, pageant girl. And then even Amira, girl, stop. I want to like you so bad. I want to so bad. And she's like, well, I asked her what her talent was, because usually pageant girls have talent. And I think she said acting. So then they're like, what if she was acting? She went to the DR and was just like, haha, I just fooled them. She's like, Can a moment not just be a moment? Like she was legitimately crying. There were multiple tears shed. Kyle, Joseph talking about their parents. They were crying. Nicole was crying with everybody. Michael came out to them and expressed that he has a fiance. We didn't get to see that part on the feeds, but it came back and everybody was being really supportive. And Nicole felt that connection to Michael. And it was very sweet. I actually enjoyed watching them share all of that. And usually I'm just like, like, let's get back to the game. Forget the niceties. But that was really sweet. And then for it to just turn negative, for them to think that she was faking when that was just so annoying.
Yeah, it feels like after that, it was almost like in the movie where the main character is like being bullied, but they're also like super like pretty and cool. But so it's weird that they're being bullied. And then it's like, some of the bullies are like, actually, this person's really cool, but you know, the group thinks that I should not like them, you know, like the secret, like I'm friends with you, but not when I'm in front of anybody else kind of deal. Because like, then I'd be like, no, I actually hate you. And then it's like the big betrayal of like, I thought we were friends, but now you're still a bully. I feel like that's happening, with Dale, where like, so like I think Alyssa and Paloma and Brittany, and I mean Indy's never been like the biggest caring about it, but like I think it's mostly right now Jasmine and Amira who are still pretty like anti Taylor and continuing to keep that even when Alyssa and Paloma and some of the other women are like, maybe she's okay.
Yeah, she's like, it starts to feel bad.
No.
She's like, I started to feel bad for calling her a pageant girl. No. You're right to do that. It's just like, give it up. But yeah. I felt like that was a good opportunity. Sorry, my dog is scratching the carpet.
No worries. To
make it comfortable. I don't know if you hear that. But I thought it was a great opportunity for some people to connect. Like, I feel like that was an opportunity. Now, Nicole and Michael know that they can talk to each other, like they have a soft spot for each other now. So I felt like that was good. Kyle, you know, has a soft side now, we see. And Joseph, he's not the bro that we see him as, or like that you would expect him to be. I feel like every time, you know, I hear him in a conversation, that it's just like, okay, he's not the typical bro, but I'm still, like I said earlier, I'm still figuring out Kyle and Joseph. But the gratitude dinner didn't change anything, but it happened.
Yes. So that's pretty much where we are. I'm pretty excited about what I'm seeing on the feeds right now. So make sure you tune in tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern where I will update you on everything that is happening today on the Big Brother 24 live feeds, which should include the veto competition and results as well. But basically what it's looking like right now is Daniel is trying to whip up the votes to make sure that Terrence stays. And I think Nicole is probably going to be on board with that as well. Pooch and Turner probably for now are going to be on board as well, which means that things might be a little tight. And again, remember, Monty and Kyle might be a little bit in the middle of all of this. So some interesting, potentially interesting stuff coming up today. And with the veto coming up as well, we could see some major shifts depending on who wins the veto. So make sure you tune in tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern, where I will update you on it all. And then later tomorrow, first of all, you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I'll be playing some Goose Goose Duck with the crew at 2 p.m. Eastern. And then during the episode, I will be live on Twitch watching. You can watch along with me. And then after the episode, we'll be podcasting about the episode. So lots of content for you tomorrow. And make sure you check out the Among Us videos on YouTube that I've been posting. The most recent one is an all-time imposter run. I ran circles around the crew. Their heads were spinning. They didn't know what hit them. So make sure you check it out over on my YouTube channel, Taryn Armstrong, and find me on Twitter at @ArmstrongTaryn Asia. Where can people find you?
Yeah, y'all can find me on Twitter at Asia, like Asia. That's A-Y-S-H-A, like A-S-I-A. Right now, I am podcasting with Jason Reed about Married at First Sight. Y'all can subscribe to the Love at First Sight feed to get all of those podcasts. Married at First Sight season 15 premiered the same night as everything else in the world. So we have just started that journey this week. And so if you've never seen the show, definitely come check us out. You don't even have to watch the show to enjoy the podcast. But yeah, y'all take a break today when the feeds are down for the veto. You know, say hi to your friends that you haven't talked to in 3 days. And yeah, enjoy your Saturday.
All right. All right. Thank you all so much for joining us here today. And I will see all of you next time.